Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to another session of Ramadan FAQs, where we are every day answering your questions. We are addressing the questions that y'all have, that people have, particularly during the month of Ramadan. So we've been doing this every single day. If you've missed any of the sessions so far and you'd like to go through them, they're pretty short and to the point, 20 to 30 minutes at the most. Then you can either go to my Instagram account where you'll find the sessions are all saved. You can go to the Qalam YouTube channel. The Qalam YouTube channel is always the best option. Everything is there. Everything is organized. And you'll find everything very easy to click and watch there, inshallah. And we are also podcasting these sessions. So if you already listen to the Qalam podcast on a regular basis, then you'll find them there. Very easy to access and to listen to. Alhamdulillah, bi-idhnillah. So let's go ahead and jump into today's session. So the very first question that we have here today is in regards to fasting. Is it okay to not fast due to an AP exam? Any advice? Okay. So before I answer the question, very quickly, allow me to explain how we answer these kinds of questions, right? How do we know the answers to these questions? Let me talk about that for a moment. So fasting is an obligation that is mandated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mandated fasting upon us within the Quran. Kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Faman shahida minkumush shahra falyasumhu. That whoever is alive in the month of Ramadan, then that person should fast the month of Ramadan. Okay? So fasting is mandatory in the month of Ramadan by the order and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right? Number one. So number two, any exceptions, any dispensations, any concessions to that rule can only be made through a very strong, conclusive proof and evidence. You would need a verse of the Quran, or it would take some authentic narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to create an exception to that rule, okay? And to provide, to allow for some kind of concession or dispensation. So that is very, very important to understand. Now, when we look at the Quran, what do we find? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ. Whosoever is sick or they are traveling. Whosoever is sick or they are traveling. So from that, we now know, we now understand that the concession for fasting is in the case of sickness, in the case of illness, or number two, in the case of traveling, when someone is on a journey, okay, and they are away from home, they are traveling, they're on the road, they're in safar. Those are the exceptions, the concessions, the dispensations available during the for the obligation of the fasting in the month of Ramadan. Okay, so some of the things that we've talked about already. What about a pregnant woman? I thought we said that she doesn't have to fast and she can make those up afterwards. Exactly, because that is impacting her physical health. Okay, it could end up doing damage to her or the baby or both. When a woman is nursing, same thing, right? This could actually jeopardize the well-being, the safety, the health of the baby, of the mother, or both, potentially, right? So that is made under that premise of physical health. That dispensation falls under that physical health item. Now that you understand how we do this, or at least just a brief overview of how we do this, now let's go back to the question. Is it okay to not fast due to an AP exam? The answer will be no. Now, I am aware that there are some scholars that are a little bit more open to this issue, and they discuss this issue further, and they are willing to make an exception for someone who has an exam or something like that. I'm not denying them their opinion. I can only share with you two things. I can share with you the facts, the statistics, the survey of what the opinion of the scholars are, number one. And number two, I can only share with you what my own personal answer is and what my recommendation is. So when it comes to surveying this issue among scholarship, the vast overwhelming majority of Muslim scholars are of the opinion that having an exam, as urgent or as necessary or as critical or crucial as it may be, is not a valid excuse that would allow someone to not fast during the month of Ramadan, even though it's obligatory on them. It would not fall in the category where it would excuse someone from fasting during the month of Ramadan. It would not. That's a majority opinion. Number two, my own personal answer on this issue is the same as the majority. I feel like, no, this is not a legitimate reason for not fasting the obligatory fast of the month of Ramadan. Wallahu ta'ala alam, and Allah knows best. However, the questioner does ask, do you have any advice? The first piece of advice, obviously, is try to reschedule, right? I'm pretty sure you thought of that. I'm not trying to be Captain Obvious. I understand that you probably thought of that already. But I just wanted to make sure that I said it, okay? Number two is that it's something philosophically. The advice that I have is philosophically. There is hardship in everything. There's hardship in anything. And by the way, this issue of, well, this is a really make or break kind of issue. It's my MCATs, it's my LSATs, et cetera, et cetera. There will always be something pressing in life. Take it from somebody who's a lot further in life. There's always going to be something. Today, it's exams. Tomorrow, it'll be work, deadlines, projects, if you think that those things don't become very critical and don't become a problem or an issue, then you are going to be finding that out very soon. All right. Then after that, then there's life stuff and family stuff. There's kids, there's births, there's illnesses and sicknesses and deaths, all kinds of things. There will always be something that's going to be very pressing. And this is your ability, your opportunity to develop that kind of resilience, that kind of strength, that kind of conviction, and also to be able to train yourself to overcome it. All right? So that is Okay, sorry. I just had somebody leaving very bizarre comments. And that's another great question somebody could ask. What do you do when somebody starts leaving repeatedly very weird comments? You know what you do? You block them. You block them. All right. Anyways, so coming back to what we were doing, because we're trying to have a serious conversation here about fiqh in Ramadan, and somebody keeps leaving nonsense comments. Anyways, so the question was, any advice? The advice is yes. My brother or my sister, whoever it is, tough things will always happen in life. And this is your chance to develop that kind of spiritual resilience. And number two is, it's also your opportunity to really prove your dedication, your devotion, your loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will help you. Allah will help you. So fast. Do not skip your fast. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab. Okay, we have a Ramadan question. If Laylatul Qadr can be on any odd night, why is so much focus given to the 27th night? Very good question. Very, very good question. If I may, whoever asked the question, though, now I know that you did not watch the Qalam webinar that we had about Laylatul Qadr. Okay? This past Saturday, we had a webinar about Laylatul Qadr. Now I know that you did not watch it yet. So first thing you need to do, you need to go to the Qalam YouTube channel and you need to find the recording of the webinar. It is all there. It is only 1 hour long. That's it. The whole webinar is 1 hour long. And in there, the second session, I believe, yes, the second session was conducted by Sheikh Muntasir Zaman, one of the instructors at Qalam. And he talked about this, right? What night is Laylatul Qadr and what are the narrations and why this night or that night? What are the evidences? But I'll give you a short answer, okay? Because you asked nicely, I will give you a short answer. The answer is that Laylatul Qadr could be on any of the odd nights. Why so much focus given on the 27th night? So much focus is given on the 27th night because there are not one, but multiple companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who all shared their personal opinion. It is their opinion. It's not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But because they are companions, sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, may Allah be pleased with them. Because they are sahaba and we respect and love the sahaba so much, we honor them. So that's why people take the 27th night very, very seriously. But the fact of the matter is, the Prophet ﷺ did say that it could be any of the odd numbered nights. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab, and Allah knows best. Okay, the next question is Laylatul Qadr the same night every year? So there's a difference of opinion. To be very honest with you, very honestly, there is a difference of opinion on the matter. Some of the scholars are of the opinion that it is the same night every year. However, and some scholars say, no, it changes from year to year. Once again, I always tell y'all, I will give you what the answer is and if there's a difference of opinion, and then I'll mention what my own perspective on it is. My own perspective on this issue is that it moves from year to year. It is a different day every single year. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab, but I find that to be more convincing, and Allah knows best. Okay. Now some money related questions. Okay. Like zakat and sadaqah and all of that. Number one, What if you haven't previously paid zakat? Can you pay it all now to catch up? Is there a penalty? Very good. Three questions in there. Okay, three parts. Number one, all right. What if you haven't previously paid your zakat? If you have not previously paid your zakat, then you need to pay it. The next question is, can you pay it all now to catch up? Not only can you, you need to. You should. Now, I understand if it's a huge amount of money and you don't have that amount of money on hand right now, that's fine. You can kind of space it out and you can make payments and you can take your time. But sooner rather than later. Sooner rather than later. Okay? And the last question is there a penalty that will then go along with it? No, there is not. There's no extra penalty. So if you, by your calculations, if you owed zakat, let's say you didn't pay last year, okay? And now you're paying the zakat for this year. And your zakat last year would have come out to $100. Your zakat last year would have come out to $100. Then you need to pay that $100 right now. You should pay that right now. And there's no further penalty on top of that. But you should take care of it immediately, okay? The next question is, how do I change my zakat date? Is it better to give zakat in the last 10 nights? Like when someone asked before in one of the previous sessions, is it better to give zakat in the month of Ramadan? It's kind of a yes and no question. Yes, generally speaking, of course. Okay. However, when I say, I'm not necessarily saying no, but there is no specific evidence that explicitly says pay zakat in Ramadan. There's no narration that says that. There's no hadith that says pay zakat in Ramadan. Rather, generally, there are narrations that say any good deed done in Ramadan is multiplied by a lot. Okay? So, by that logic, if you pay your zakat in Ramadan, it's getting multiplied. The reward is getting multiplied. So the last 10 nights, again, any deed you do on Laylatul Qadr gets multiplied exponentially. So there's nothing that explicitly says pay your zakat during the last 10 nights. But if you kind of think about it, logically, it adds up that if somebody does those deeds during the last 10 nights, their reward is getting multiplied exponentially. Wallahu ta'ala. The only thing I will caution is if your zakat due date you calculate in the month of Ramadan, then that's fine. But if you, for let's say for financial purposes, you calculate all your finances, including your zakat, at the end of the year, right? You do it on an annual basis. So in January, you know how much zakat you have to pay. And you're like, I'm going to hold on to it and not pay it until Ramadan comes in April. That part, I would caution you about that part, because you never want to leave an obligation undone, because none of us know if we're going to live to see tomorrow, right? So you want to do it sooner rather than later, all right? Wallahu ta'ala alam, and Allah will reward you for your intention, insha'Allah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, all right? Allah is most merciful, most kind. Now the person is saying, how do I change my zakat date? It's just a matter of you picking another date and then calculating based off of that, and Allah knows best. Okay. Quran, somebody's asking a Quran question. What are some good tafasir? What are some good tafsirs to read for the first time, right? For a first timer. That's a very good question. That will depend on language, right? What language do you have access to? I'm going to take a wild guess and I'm going to say English. Since you asked the question in English, I'm going to go ahead and assume you're asking about English, okay? So, for English, there are some good tafasir, there are some good tafsir books in the English language. However, at the moment, they have been translated into English from other languages. There is a tafsir called Ma'arif al-Quran. Ma'arif al-Quran, all right? And that was written by a great scholar, Mufti Shafi Uthmani, rahimahullah ta'ala. He wrote it in Urdu. It was translated from Urdu into English. And so while it's a good work, but again, it has been translated from Urdu to English. So, you know, at places and at times, it leaves something to be desired. But nonetheless, that is available. There's also Tafheem al-Quran. Tafheemul Quran, which again was written in Urdu and then it was translated into English from Urdu. Okay, so those are a couple of recommendations that are available in English. Tafheem al-Quran and Ma'arif al-Quran. Ma'arif al-Quran. Okay. However, one thing I will also share with you is that we're working on the process of creating tafsir resources in English. We have the tafsir podcast here at Qalam. So alhamdulillah, we hope to resume that after Ramadan. So that will be a resource. And I personally am also working on a long-term project of a written tafsir in the English language that will be a little bit more practical for, especially like you asked, first-timers. So inshallah, we just have to have kind of the patience for those resources to develop. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitate, may Allah accept, may Allah make easy, and may Allah bless the efforts. We have a couple of more questions here. So someone is asking a question, okay? Can you talk about arriving late for Isha and Taraweeh? And Taraweeh has already started. Do we join or not? Okay. So I answered this in yesterday's Q&A. I talked about it in actually quite a bit of detail. The short answer is pray Isha separately and then join into the Taraweeh. Why? Go check out yesterday's video. I spoke about it. I actually broke it down in a lot of detail. It was a video from Tuesday. Tuesday, the 4th of May. And so, yeah. 4th of May. Absolutely. Okay. Now, another question is, when arriving late for Fajr at the masjid, can I pray my sunnah for Fajr afterwards? So, there is a difference of opinion. Some scholars say you can get right up after Fajr prayer and pray your sunnah. The majority of the scholars say, no, you should not. There is one moment, there is a narration where the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahabi to do that. But it's the only time he ever told somebody to do that. Otherwise, generally, the instruction of the Prophet ﷺ was, do not pray anything after you are done with your Fajr prayer until the sun rises. Do not do any, no more prayer. Between the end of Fajr, salam, until the sun rises. Nothing in between there, no prayer in between there. So one time, only one time to one Sahabi, the Prophet ﷺ told him to stand up and pray his sunnah for Fajr. The scholars explained that was to emphasize the sunnah of Fajr, but it is the exception, not the rule, and we do not make rules out of exceptions. There are the rules. There are the rules, and then there are the exceptions to the rule. But we do not make rules out of exceptions. All right? The rule always stays in place. And the rule is, once you're done with Fajr, you don't pray anything until the sun rises. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab, and Allah knows best. Okay. Another question. How can I make up for missed prayers? They are too numerous to count. Another question. It's in the same question. Somebody said another question inside the same question. Allahu Akbar. All right. I missed prayers in my teens because I wasn't as aware of Allah. I'm doing better now, but do I have to make them all up? Okay. Very good. So basically the question is, you know, both parts of the question or both questions are essentially asking the same thing. And that is that somebody, so here's again, the general rule. The rule is, based off of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ نَامَ عَنْ صَلَاتِنَا وَنَسِيَا فَلْيُصَلِّيَا إِذَا ذَكْرَهَا. If you miss a prayer, you have to make it up. The moment you realize that you missed a prayer, you have to make it up. So the moment you realize that you did not pray for a whole year, you got to make those prayers up. 365 times 5. Okay? So that's the rule. That's the rule. Now, can there be exceptions to the rule? It depends. There's some difference of opinion. Some scholars do say that if a person has so many missed prayers that it's years upon years, like this person said, all throughout their teens. I was having a conversation recently with, you know, Ustad Abdurrahman, Mufti Kamani, even Sheikh Muntasir, and we've talked about this issue, that we come across this more and more, that people haven't prayed for an entire decade or multiple decades of their life, right? So they I mean, calculation wise, they're going to have like 100,000 prayers to make up, right? Something like that. They're going to have like, you know, 20, 30,000 prayers to make up. So what do you do, right? So again, it goes back to there's a rule, then there's the exception to the rule. What I would generally say is have the intention to make it up and periodically make some prayers up. Just be on a schedule that, you know, every week you make up, you know, you make up like one prayer a day. So in a week, you make up seven prayers and just kind of keep that going. For if you didn't end up praying for so many years, just kind of keep on going. And, you know, until a person leaves this world and Allah will reward you for your intention. But focus primarily on not missing any more prayers. Your first job, once you realize, man, I got to pray five times today. SubhanAllah, I haven't prayed in like 15 years. Your job number one is never miss another prayer. Prioritize that. Focus on that. That is your first responsibility. All right. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab. I hope that helps. All right. We have a question about spirituality. Someone says, I was born to a Muslim family, but I haven't been practicing till a few years ago. I fast, give charity, make a lot of dua, recite the Quran, but I still struggle to pray. I know these are the basics of the religion, but I find them to be a struggle for me. Does that mean my iman is low? I feel guilty and beg Allah to help me. Every night I resolve to be better the next day, but come the next day and I forget to pray dhuhr or put off asr till I get home from work. And at the end of the day, I realize I am missing prayers again. How can I get off this perpetual cycle of failure? SubhanAllah. First of all, whoever sent in this question, brother or sister, may Allah reward you. May Allah reward you for practicing your deen and trying to be more particular about practicing your deen and your religion. That is amazing to hear. Number two, you actually feel the guilt and the remorse and the regret of missing your prayer. That's a good thing. Never stop feeling that. Never let that go. Number three, we do got to fix it. We do got to fix it. Okay? You ask, is your iman low? Allah knows best. I can't say that. Only Allah knows what's in your heart. Right? Hal shaqaqta qalbahu? The Prophet told the companion, did you split his heart open? Allah knows. Right? And maybe you could have some idea of just how you feel. But Allah knows. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Wallahu alimu bi dhati sudur. Allah knows what's in the hearts. But you ask the right question. How can I get off this perpetual cycle of failure? That's exactly, you're thinking along the right terms. You have to shake things up. You have to shake things up, right? You got to switch things up. So you say you forget to pray the dhuhr, put off asr till you get home from work. Maybe don't do that anymore, right? Make your wudu in your lunch break, right? And then keep your wudu. Like actually focus on keeping your wudu. So that as soon as it's dhuhr time, or as soon as it's dhuhr time, you go somewhere, you find a corner, you go out to the parking lot, pray right next to your car. But you're going to pray four rak'ahs, just the fard. Now somebody listening is going to be like, oh brother, you should pray sunnah. Right? One thing at a time. But let's get the fard. Pray your fard, and then go right back to work. You just need 5 minutes. Asr, like you want to get home from work and pray, again, keep your wudu or make wudu. Go out as you're leaving next to your car. Just pray your asr fard real quickly. And then get in the car and drive home. And you will start to break the cycle. But unless and until you shake things up, you unfortunately might remain stuck. And we got to get you unstuck. All right? So, those were the questions that were sent in. Now, I wanted to see if I could quickly answer some of the questions that were being presented here online as well. If I don't pray for a cure for a disease, but only in the hopes of elevating status, is that wrong? No, that is between you and Allah. Somebody's asking a question that if somebody is ill, they're not making dua for shifa. They're just basically saying, I'm just going to trust Allah. And if I do have an illness, I get rewarded for it. It's elevating my status. That is between you and Allah. And there's actually a companion who said that to the Prophet. So I know that it might offend some people's sensitivities, but the fact of the matter is the Prophet did not have a problem with the Sahabi saying that. It's between a person and Allah. Number two, I sold an investment of a portion. Okay, very good. Someone's asking a question that they sold an investment. They sold an investment, a portion of which was made from riba. So I think what they're trying to say is they sold a portion of an investment which was made from riba. I know it is not supposed to be given as zakat or sadaqah or seeking any reward, but can it be given to a charity, and what causes are allowed or not allowed? The general answer is yes, you can give it to any charity. Some scholars say try not to give it to charities that do religious kind of work, but ultimately at the end of the day, the stronger evidence is on the side of yes, you can give it to any charity. Because Barira, who was a servant who worked for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was a slave. She could receive zakat. She received charity from someone, some food. She brought it home and gave it, shared it with the Prophet as a gift to him. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha tried to stop the Prophet. Ya Rasulullah, she was given it as zakat. The Prophet said it was zakat for her, but it is a gift for us. So you can give it to any charity. Allah ta'ala alam bis sawab, and Allah knows best. Someone is asking, can you please shed some light on the difference between our way of fasting and the fasting of the people of the book? Allah ta'ala alam bis sawab, to be very honest with you, I am not very familiar with the history and the practices in Christianity and Judaism of fasting. So I'm not the right person to answer that question. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Someone asked a question. The best way to memorize the Quran. That is a very good question. Very, very good question. And it's got a longer answer. So I won't answer the question immediately. But what I will share with you some good news is we are working at Qalam on a resource along with Ustad Ubaidullah Ahmed, who is, you know, our Arabic instructor at Qalam, and he has a lot of experience and expertise in the area of learning Quran in Arabic and so on and so forth. So we're going to be working on a resource, inshallah, with him that is going to help instruct people on how to memorize the Quran. So keep a lookout for that, inshallah. Okay. Subhanallah, very good question. Brother Abdullah is asking the question that how much water do I have to drink for my fast to break? Today, someone had to go to the dentist, so it wasn't optional. He had to go to the dentist. A couple of times I was questioning whether or not I swallowed liquid or spit. So what you should do is finish your fast for today, but make a note that you are going to make up this day after Ramadan is over as a precaution. As a precaution, because there's a difference of opinion. Like in the Shafi'i school, what you basically mentioned could mean that your fast was still valid. In the Hanafi school, generally speaking, that would be considered something that would nullify, invalidate your fast, right? So what I would say is finish today, but do plan to make up for this day after Ramadan, inshallah. All right? Very good. Someone asked, Brother Abdullah asked, are you supposed to do qada for witr and sajda tilawa? There's a difference of opinion, right? According to the majority of the scholars, you do not do qada. You don't have to make up for any witr prayers that you did not make, or any sajdas of recitation that you did not do immediately. The majority says, the Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali school says you do not have to make those up. They are all optional. However, the Hanafi school says that it is, you do have to make it up. You do have to do qada for them. So I would recommend doing the qada. That is my recommendation, that go ahead and make up any witr prayers or any sajda tilawa that you have not done. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Can you have the Quran in front of you while praying tahajjud prayers? Again, there's a difference of opinion. The majority of the scholars says yes. However, some scholars have the opinion that no, you cannot. My recommendation on the matter is that it is fine because tahajjud prayers are optional, optional prayers. So therefore, there's more flexibility with optional prayers. Wallahu ta'ala alam, and Allah knows best. Okay, we also have some questions here on Instagram. I'm going to try to go through them as quickly as I can. But again, no promises. Okay. Someone asked a good question. It's kind of a practical question, not really a fiqh question. If a person has to choose between a mosque that has longer tarawih but less peace and quiet, kind of in a quieter environment, versus less tarawih but it's a more kind of quiet place where you can focus, which mosque would you choose? So they're asking me which one I would choose. So when it comes to kind of the peace and quiet, and again, you asked me, so I'm going to say it. When it comes to the peace and quiet, I wonder what you mean. If you mean just like it's just chaotic, chaos, right, where it's not a comfortable place to pray, then okay, I would take the more peaceful place. But if by peace and quiet, sometimes it's an issue of like kids and families and things like that, I personally enjoy that kind of an environment. Because I love taking my kids and my family to Taraweeh prayers. I always went to Taraweeh as a young kid growing up. So, yeah, that's just my own personal take on the issue. All right. Another question that we have here is, how much are you supposed to pay for zakat and how often? It is once a year on an annual basis. Go to qalam.institute. And if you go to qalam.institute/Ramadan resources, you will find a very detailed presentation on how to pay zakat, because this person, there's a couple of more questions. Does all of the zakat have to go to one source, or can you distribute? Ideally, you should distribute. But again, go there, listen to the presentation, and all these questions will be answered there. Someone's asking a good question, that sometimes Ramadan starts on different days. So then how do we know which day is Laylatul Qadr? It's a very good question. Right. And that's why some scholars even went as far as holding the opinion that it technically that whole what's described in Surah Al-Qadr, Surah number 97, that occurs on multiple nights, on different nights for different people, different areas, different regions. Right. Wallahu ta'ala, it could happen. Look, the general rule, again, from the Quran is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna rahmati wasi'at kulla shay." That God's mercy is greater than everything. So never limit the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Okay? So in Ramadan, overloading the reading of the Quran, or should one focus on quality? Again, I think both are possible, where you can read a large portion and still have some time for reflection. But if you do need to choose one or the other, my personal recommendation is to always choose quality, reflection, and focus when it comes to the Quran. Is zakat due on plots of land that are bought? We buy and keep it for a few years and then sell them when we need money. So if that's already in your mind that you're going to buy it and eventually sell it, then yes, you pay zakat on that. Someone's asking, what about praying in the car and driving in the middle of a journey? If you are in control of the vehicle, then you need to stop the vehicle and get out and pray. Someone is asking that they heard that you shouldn't pray in a room where there are personal photos on the walls. Is there any authenticity to this? Yes, there is. Because there was a curtain that had like little drawings of animals on it, and it was hanging where in the direction. The Prophet would pray in the home, and he removed it. He removed it. Later on, pillows were made out of it, which were sitting on the side. He said, that's fine. But it just could not be in front of him where he was praying. See here. And finally, we have a bunch of questions submitted here on Instagram. What's the fiqh of breastfeeding during Ramadan? Can women not fast? We talked about that earlier. They are allowed to not fast if they feel like they won't be able to maintain it. Number two, is it permissible to inherit from a parent who has left Islam? So generally, again, this is a delicate issue and it requires a more detailed answer. But generally speaking, the scholars are of the opinion that we do not inherit from non-Muslims. So if somebody has a parent who has left Islam, then no, they should not be inheriting from them as Muslims. There's a lot of questions in the question tab. Our admin will has been noting all these questions, and those are a lot of the questions that we answer in these daily sessions, inshallah. I'm going to go ahead and pause here. I've already gone way over time. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you very much for tuning in. I hope and pray you found this session beneficial. Your questions are being answered. You're gaining knowledge. You're learning. You're practicing better. What do I want you to do? What I ask you all to do every day. Go to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com. Support the work that we are doing. And after you go and donate on supportqalam.com, I then want you to take this link and I want you to share it with all your family and friends. I want you to text it to everyone. I want you to message it to everyone. I want you to put it in every group chat that you have. And I want you to share this link with everyone everywhere so that everyone can get the reward of donating. Everyone can receive the blessings of donating. And we can continue to do the work that we do. We can keep answering your questions like we are here. All right. Jazakumullah khairan. And before we leave, we have a really, really amazing question. All right. The really amazing question that we have here is from Ustaz Abdurrahman Murphy. Ustaz Abdurrahman is live now on Instagram, so y'all can hopefully hear. Ustaz, do you mind asking your question live? Interesting. So first, so if I can break your question up here, your first part of your question is it permissible to wake up in the afternoon?
Yes. Is it permissible to wake up around 2 p.m.?
And then what do you do about your prayers if you woke up at 2 p.m.?
You know, again, I'm just being a good friend. I don't want him to have to humiliate himself.
Very good. Very good. So when people say, I have a friend, you actually do have a friend that you're asking about.
I have a friend. Well, you are my friend, so I have two friends.
So for those who aren't following, I apologize. We have a very bad habit of inside jokes, but Ustad Abdurrahman is making fun of one of our friends who is unfortunately known to notoriously wake up in the afternoon. Please make dua for him. الحمد لله الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور. Yes. It does. It does.
Inshallah.
All right, everyone. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you for tuning in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.